Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. We're excited to bring back Mark and Amber Archer and get an update on their busy lives. The website, fearlessfeatures.org. Got a little secret to tell you about them halfway through the podcast today. We'll tell you about it. I think you guys know already if you're a Worldview Matters fan. And they're working on a new project called Principalities. It sounds exciting. It sounds very important to the body of Christ, knowing that spiritual warfare is ramped up. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, guys, welcome back. Good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks for having us. Great to be with you.
Yeah, so you just got off the road, or I don't know, recently, I think you were going around doing interviews, and I think you were in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, and you got canceled by someone from the, was it an after school Satan club or something? Start there and tell us why you're doing those interviews.
Go ahead. I'll tell that story, and then you can talk about the witch.
Okay.
No, you're going to love this.
Okay.
So we started our first round of interviews for Principalities, and we started in Arizona, where we interviewed Craig Sawyer, who's part of the Mind Polluters. And then we went up to Colorado, and we were going to collect three interviews in Colorado. And one of those was with the national director of the After School Satan Club. And the reason for that was because part of the, one of the storylines that we've been chasing in this film for a little while is the After School Satan Clubs, which were started specifically because the son of this woman who started the Satan Clubs, he went to a Good News Club at his school and he heard the gospel, and that's put on by Child Evangelism Fellowship, who you're familiar with. And so he came home and was sharing the gospel with his mom, and that made mom mad, and she would not allow him to go back. And so she got angry about that and hooked up with the Satanic Temple, and they started the After School Satan Clubs. And basically what they do is anywhere there's a Good News Club, they want to put an After School Satan Club. And so we went out partially to talk to her, and we'd been talking to her for many months, and she'd actually been very cordial and accommodating and made arrangements for us. And then
about
an hour before, we were getting ready to pack up and head downtown Colorado Springs, and she canceled on us and said, I'm just not going to do this.
An hour before?
The email went out, and we only, you know, we're on the road, so we don't actually check emails a lot. So it was an hour before we were getting ready to leave. And, you know, we had been corresponding via text message with her the entire time. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we were expecting an email from her, but we ended up getting an email and had this lengthy message of, well, I'm just not going to. And
I even offered, I said, well, listen, we got two other interviews. I asked her if she would be comfortable in coming to a church to do her interview. Of course, that did not appeal to her. And I said, well, listen, we're going to be here through tomorrow. You can come to the hotel. We'll find
you. We offered to pick her up.
Come pick you up. No problem. We heard every excuse under the sun. In the end, she just said, I'm just not going to do this. And I said, okay. You had your chance.
She didn't give a reason. She didn't, you know, do some research into what you guys are about or nothing like that.
We are very upfront with people.
It's
like when we were starting our film about the abortionist called Inwood Drive, and I reached out to George Clapper, the abortionist, and I basically said, hi, I'm Mark Archer. I'm a producer. I'm making a movie about you and the demise of your abortion practice. Do you want to be in it?
And would you like to speak for yourself?
And no, it was, you know, you're going to be in it anyway, so you can either self or I can pull stuff off the internet. And it's same thing with her. I mean, I said, this is who we are. Here's links to our movies. We don't agree with you, but willing to let you speak for yourself.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be all fine and dandy until it wasn't.
So he canceled too?
Oh, no, he speaks for the film.
George Clopper, yeah, he talked to us.
He is on Inwood Drive. Okay.
Yeah, he's in Inwood Drive.
That's interesting. Well, you know, people like that are doing that, I mean, it's evil. I mean, from the biblical worldview, obviously, we look at that and go, my goodness, it's murder, it's child sacrifice. But they, in their warped worldview, they think they're doing the world a service. Maybe they're thinking, oh, population control, great. Or maybe they really do think it's women's health or reproductive freedom or whatever else. So a lot of the people that work at Planned Parenthood's on and on and on. But I want to get back to the gal that didn't want to speak in Colorado Springs. I'm thinking, well, aren't they proud of Satan and who they worship and who they are? So it just kind of confuses me that she would cancel. I don't know.
They are until they're not.
And you have to understand, they make Satan out to be just like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. He's make believe. He's not real. Is how they present it. It's really interesting when you start, you know, trying to ask questions and get to the nuts and bolts of what they actually believe, and then they just have nothing to stand on.
Well, nothing that they say makes any sense. On the one hand, they call themselves the Satanic Temple, and then they call themselves non-theistic Satanists, and then they say Satan's not real and hell's not real. Mm-hmm. And I have podcasts of her where people ask her, people who agree with her say, so why do you call it the Satanic Temple?
Their after-school Satan club.
After-school, you know, and she never really has a good answer for it. So it's, yeah, they're used greatly. But the best part was we thought that we went to talk to her, but Amber, my beautiful bride,
guys,
got to share the gospel with somebody in the
hotel lobby.
Hotel lobby Halloween morning.
Okay. So mind you, we had a screening Wednesday night of Dysphoria. It was amazing. Just about a packed house. We actually ended up having to kind of kick people out because people were staying so late.
Oh, and we got canceled on that.
Well, we got canceled on by the first church.
Yeah, we had
to get a backup church.
Promoted this at one church for 3 weeks.
And oh my goodness!
Like three days before we left, they canceled on us.
Yeah. So.
So no, you had a Satanist cancel on you, and you had a church cancel on you.
Yeah, a mega church pastor cancel on us.
Oh, mega church. Okay.
This is what makes it great. The church pastor said, he said, well, it's too long. People won't stay. And I said, well, I can only tell you that every time we've shown this film, people stay to the end, and then they stay afterwards and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And he admitted, he goes, well, we just want to cancel the event.
And we said, okay, no big deal.
Okay. So when we did, so we found a different church. And when we did show it, we had to kick people out because they were there for almost 4 hours.
Yes.
Wow.
So we got to go.
But in the meantime.
So we have the screening Wednesday night. Thursday, we take and capture our two interviews that we were getting. And we were supposed to be leaving Friday morning, which is Halloween. Right. And so here it is. Everybody's in bed. It's late. And it was 1:48. And I thought one of our daughters were tapping me on the shoulder because, you know, we take our kids with us and when we travel. And so I thought somebody was coming to wake me up, and like they needed something. And I woke up and I looked at the clock. It was 1:48 and nobody was there. And I was like, okay, that was strange. So I just laid back down. And mind you, I sleep with earplugs because I'm a really light sleeper. And
me
so,
too.
And so, it just, I got comfortable and it was like somebody was tapping me on my shoulder again. And I was like, what is the deal? You know? And so I got up, I looked around and I went and checked on everybody and everybody's sleeping. Mark's facing the other direction. And so I just sat on the bed. I'm like, what? Okay, whatever. And Mark rolls over and I said, I think I'm going to go downstairs. You know, it's almost 2 a.m. And he's, the coffee's not ready. What are you doing? You know, because for us, it's 4 o'clock at home. It's usually our time we get up anyway. So no big deal, really, for me.
I am not getting up unless there's coffee. It's just no point.
No coffee. He's not. And so there's no coffee. Just lay back down. It's like, okay, no problem. I lay down and it was almost like this really loud voice, almost like it wasn't a mean yell, but it was a very urgent, there's a lost soul downstairs. You need to go. And I was like, whoa, understood. I'm getting up. So I just got up. I literally just got up, got dressed,
Wow.
grabbed my laptop and my purse, and went downstairs. And so I get down there, and it was almost like the guy who had checked us in on midnight of Wednesday morning. I immediately noticed he had his acrylic nails on, very feminine posture and demeanor. And it was like he was just standing there waiting for me. And I just said, "Hi, good morning, happy Halloween." And I just went and I sat down. And he came over and he started talking to me. And I said, "Why don't you have a seat?" And he said, "Well," he goes, "yeah, my system just went down about 10 minutes ago." I was like, "You don't say." So I asked him, I said, "Why don't you sit down and tell me about yourself?" So he starts telling me about how he used to live in Arizona, moved to Colorado, lived in the northern part of Colorado, but it was too red. So he and his mom moved down to Colorado Springs, where it was more purple. And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, what's wrong with red?" And he said, "Well," and he starts getting into hunting and trophy hunting. And, and so he was all about, animals are so sacred. And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. At this point, I don't even care. I'm like, you're either going to get up and walk away or you're not, whatever." And I said, "Do you think abortion is okay?" And he just looked at me and he goes, it was like an immediate yes. And I said, "Okay, so you think the animals' lives are more sacred than a human life? Well, it's a zygote." "Well, you were a zygote." "Well, I wish I would have stayed one." I said, "No, you don't." So we sat there and we talked. I mean, and come to find out, just talking to him, because I told him exactly who I was, what we did, and that we do everything from a biblical perspective. And his response, his immediate response was, "Ugh." And it was just like that. And I'm sitting there, okay. But he goes on to tell me that he's a practicing witch and his mom is the head witch of their coven. And, she used to follow the Titans, but she found out they were going to lose. So she started following somebody else. Well, and then, so, and I just, and I, so I started telling him about God. I told him about Jesus. I was telling him about the Holy Spirit. And I told him about the end of the, because I asked him, because he said, a part of our conversation, he said, "Well, I could follow Jesus and I could be his friend." I said, "Well, Jesus wants to be your friend and the Lord of your life." And I asked him if he'd ever read scripture. He said no. And oh my goodness, David, it was
Wow.
sort of a really crazy thing. We sat there for 10, 15 minutes and I shared the gospel with him, how to follow Christ and everything. And just come to find out, he was given up at birth and he was adopted by a Hispanic woman, and she went to all of these different witch rituals and things. So, there's just there's a lot of confusion, and just sitting there talking to him, and it was almost like, because I told him, I said, we always find that there's usually childhood trauma in somebody's life when you sucked into these kind of ideologies. And I no sooner I started reaching for my phone to read scripture to him, and his whole demeanor changed, and his voice changed, and it was like he started to tremble, and I just went, "Okay, I'm done. Like, Lord, what do you want me to do?" So it was, needless to say, it was an amazing opportunity and conversation, and one that I'm sure that he will never forget. His name is Chris. If the viewers would like to pray for Chris in
Sure.
Colorado
Save him,
Springs,
Lord.
save him, Lord, because planting seeds along the way is what we're here to do, and I pray for whoever comes in contact with him next that will have a strong biblical foundation to share the truth and the gospel with him.
To water those seeds that were planted.
Yeah,
And a lot of
absolutely.
people would get up and try to read or get on their iPhone or turn on the TV at 2 in the morning. You went down to the lobby. So
Well, I mean,
don't That's let that be a lesson to you guys. Don't ignore taps on the shoulders when you're sleeping. Hey,
really? You feel prompted.
we're going to talk about dysphoria when we get back. You guys put out a newsletter and some very interesting developments, and then we'll talk more about principalities. But right now, I want to have people check this out, and we'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaa, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Okay, Excuse me. Do you want one of these? I'll tell you how you can get one. So we've just entered our third year of producing Worldview Matters. We had no idea when we started, but praise God for the growth. And thank you for your prayers. But some of you are able to donate financially. We're starting a new campaign. We're a 501c3 nonprofit to continue speaking the truth, exposing evil, trying to wake up the church, edify the body of Christ. We depend on your prayers, sharing the podcast, and your support financially. So right now, if you could consider a gift of, let's just say $200, that would be awesome. Some people like to give monthly. $25 a month would be great. You can get this stainless steel tumbler that says Worldview Matters on one side, my tagline on the other. I drink my coffee out of it every day now. Keep speaking the truth about things that matter. It really does keep it hot. Anyway, thanks for your prayers. That's the most important. But if you can give financially, go to our website, please, worldviewmatters.tv. And we'll continue to thank people that give. I just went down a list earlier this week on other podcast episodes. But my goodness, we're getting support from all around the country. Thank you. I should come up with a list of states that we have not heard from yet, but I don't think I want to go down that road and take that angle. But Mark and Amber, you're in the conference that we just put up a little promo for next May 1st and 2nd. You will be in Green Bay. Thank you for agreeing to be part of it. Your work is really important, and I'm just excited to get you a little bit more exposure and get people to learn about your ministry. So thanks for being part of that.
Well, thanks for inviting us. Yeah, we're excited to be with you.
Yep. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you got to kind of surrender all expectations when you do your first one, and just praise God. I'm excited. But let's talk about dysphoria, because you put out a newsletter recently. Now, friends, this is one of their projects. They did Title IX, The Mind Polluters. We already mentioned Inwood Drive. But dysphoria, apparently the HHS confirmed what Mark and Amber have been warning about for years in their film, Dysphoria, the harm being done to children and teens under the banner of gender-affirming care. Amber, tell us what you found out or what you heard.
Okay, so it was really incredible when I saw that the HHS put out their report yesterday. So there's several links if you actually go to their website. And so I thought, you know, I can't read all 228 pages. I'm in the middle of something else. So I took it over to chat and I said, hey, can you give me a summary on this? Well, I've used ChatGPT for a lot of other things. And one of the first things that came back, because obviously when you use chat, it keeps record of your conversations. And so it said, your film Dysphoria predicted every one of these findings years before this report. And I just kind of stopped and I went, wait a second. Okay, we have been dismissed. Everybody who has been speaking about these things, because we are not the only ones.
Yeah.
And for so many years, we have all been told basically just shut up and comply with what's been coming down the pike. And, you know, to see now all of a sudden, and this is why we always say to people, elections have consequences. They matter.
Absolutely.
So, you know, but truth never changes. That's a given. But it does matter who's pushing what agenda, and the times that we're living in is just unprecedented.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a book. I mention it so often. I haven't read it for about 15 years. I think it's been out that long, maybe even longer. David Kopelian wrote a book called The Marketing of Evil. And he mentioned how successful the promoters of the LGBTQ, all these ideologies that would reject God, how successful they've been. Because, friends, it is marketing. Phenomenal book, guys. I don't know what year it came out, but phenomenal, because it gets into the truth that the more people hear something over and over again, you start believing it. Even if it's a lie, we know that's true. But so the church seems to be a little more ignorant when it comes to some of these issues and how people fall into these lifestyles. I mean, you can probably have, you know, share some of the emails or some things you get from Christian parents that say, I had no idea my son or my daughter was going down this road. Could you speak to that for a minute, maybe, Mark?
Oh, I mean, we tell people all the time when we show the films and on our podcast, we say, listen, we don't we don't mean to sound like we're coming down on people for not knowing, because we were people who didn't know when we first started on the mind polluters. We went to a conference here in Indiana where they started talking about all of this, and we were shocked. We could not believe the things that we were hearing and that they were showing us. And it took us weeks to process what we had even heard. And then we discovered that was only the tip of the iceberg. So we're just like every other parent, grandparent that's watching the films. We're just further down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, a little further around the curve, because we have to learn it so that we can fill them in on what we're learning. We don't so much get direct messages as we do just outright resistance. People just will not, they just ignore you. They won't talk to you. And you know, we say all the time, I expect this from the world. When we got dysphoria done, it's funny because Inwood Drive and the Mind Polluters, we managed to get on a couple of streaming services, even on Amazon. Dysphoria and its offshoot film, Title IX, absolutely cannot, I mean, stone cold people, even in the faith-based community.
Don't talk about it.
One of our entertainment attorney who acts as our sales agent helps us with this stuff, and he was shocked. He went to people that he's dealt with on films for 30-40 years, and he said, Mark, I've never seen a reaction like this where they just say, I don't even want to talk to you.
Oh my goodness.
And now look, now the government is talking about it. Yeah. And it is out in the open.
Yeah, so the government's starting to admit it, but church is still, you know, by the way, silence is consent, friends. Yes, to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. And unfortunately, and then he says, not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless. So the church in America, I think a lot of pastors are going to be held accountable for their lack of addressing these issues that would help their congregants, particularly parents and young children, protect children. And isn't that one of the reasons you worked on dysphoria, mind polluters, now you're working on principalities?
Yeah, if you look at our entire body of work, it is all about protecting children and the innocence of children.
Yeah, because if you're not willing to defend the innocent, I mean, I read through Proverbs a lot, and all throughout Proverbs, Solomon talks about standing up for the rights of the poor and the needy, and you know, that is, and the innocent and the defenseless taking up their cause. If the children don't fall into every one of those categories, I don't know who does. So especially as men, we can't call ourselves men if we're not willing to protect those who can't protect themselves. And it's not entirely the pastors, but pastors and people in church leadership, you bear an extra burden because you have taken on that position in the church, and the Lord holds you to a higher standard. It doesn't let the rest of us off the hook, but
yes. So back to your newsletter, it says why this matters for your films, Dysphoria and Principalities. And you say the spiritual battle over truth, identity, and the bodies of children is very real. Our new film, Principalities, Doctrine of Demons, is right on time. By the way, it's going to be out. We're hoping for May, but we'll see how that goes. And then you say churches and families need clarity and courage more than ever. And by the way, absolutely, because Satan is the author of confusion. And talk about a confused culture, but sadly, guys, a confused church as well. And we could do a whole podcast on that, but I want to talk about your book. Apparently it's sold out, Mark. Your book compromised, so you're gonna order a new printing. So where's the best place for people to check out your latest book, Compromised?
Is it fearlessfeatures.org/compromise?
Yep. And the books are on the way. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so shop. You can click on shop and that'll go to there. There we go. You can do that too. Oh, awesome. So there it is, Compromised by Mark Archer. So yeah, that's great. Hopefully you'll have plenty of them when you come up next May. So in the last 2.5 minutes, whatever you guys want to share, I know it can be potentially discouraging maybe when you're out there trying to put your documentary film together and record and people cancel, but you know, God's sovereign over all that. So I know you trust him. Tell us whatever you want to share in the last minute or two, guys.
Share about how long the after school Satan clubs actually last.
Oh, that was a fascinating when we actually sat down and talked to, yes, I do actually. When we sat down and talked with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we asked them, you know, how long on average do you see the after school Satan clubs? Because, you know, they've been around since 1937 and have
Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Yeah.
And all of this resistance, see, the after-school Satan clubs are very good at coming in and trying to discourage any and all clubs, because if you don't let them in, nobody can have a club. That means the Good News clubs can't be in. And so what we found is, like, the longest running one that they have even seen exist is for a month. So these after-school Satan clubs come in just to disrupt and to keep the News clubs out. And so it was one of those things that we talked about, like, this is definitely going in the storyline, because people need to understand, hey, churches and people in ministry, understand that they're here just to agitate and to keep the Good News from going out.
Yep. And that's, obviously Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the author of confusion, the father of lies, and he just wants to disrupt. We're seeing a lot of that in our country and our culture today. So fearlessfeatures.org, fearlessfeatures.org. You can check out Compromised, order that, Mark's book, and pray for what they're working on right now. Principalities, just knowing the spiritual warfare that is ramped up. And I know we talked about this the last time you guys were on. This is an important and timely project that you're working on. So you guys need prayer for God's covering and protection. So thank you for your time. Thank you for all you do, Mark and Amber.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you.
We will do this again very soon, Lord willing. And friends, thank you so much again for sharing the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.